with the numbers that are coming out on Sunday night, I think that it might be better for us to move to the fireside room rather than here. We're basically wasting electricity here by having all these lights on and nobody to enjoy them, okay? So I think that next week we will meet in the fireside room. Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Can we sing a cappella? Okay. We'll see. Maybe we can arrange something. Okay, we'll look at it this week. Okay, last week we were looking at the life of Joseph and what God did in his life. I believe that when God gave Joseph his dreams, two dreams, one of the cattle, the two dreams Joseph had was reaping and putting the grain into sheaves and his sheaves standing up and other sheaves bowing down to it, and then the one that his whole family was involved in. When he had those dreams, I believe that God communicated with him in some way, that he knew that God was going to use him for a specific purpose, and that specific purpose actually was the preservation of his family. So last Sunday night, we looked at God's arranging circumstances to bring about Joseph's rule in Egypt under Pharaoh and the famine that came into the land that was to last 7 years. And so tonight we'll be looking at what took place with Joseph and his family as the Lord's will was put into play. A lot of people I've heard say, God has a sense of humor. God has everything. Not just a sense of humor. God has everything. He's got compassion for us. He watches over us. He even sorrows, I believe, sometimes when we offend him. But Joseph wound up in charge of all the foodstuffs in Egypt. And Jacob needed food, so he made the logical conclusion that he should have Joseph's brothers go to Egypt and get food for the family and bring it back. And so we're going to start at Genesis chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. Genesis 42, 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to the sons, "Why do you look upon one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now, remember, that's what the sheaves did. And they were chiding him for saying that they would come and worship him. And here the very act that he had dreamed about was taking place before him. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spoke roughly unto them. And he said to them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, "Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land are ye come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land are ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said to them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said to them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine to your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so that your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress come upon us. At this point, people, they had guilty consciences. It had been 13 years. They still had guilty consciences because there was no way for them to get rid of their guilt. Christ had not died. There was no way. Wouldn't it be awful to live under the law? It would be. Where there was no possibility of having forgiveness. That happens to be our subject for next week, is forgiveness. But where there is no forgiveness, and here they are still dealing with the fact that they sold their brother into slavery, and they think he's dead. I'm sure that Joseph was wearing makeup. The Egyptians used to do that. That Joseph was made up. He was probably speaking to them through an interpreter, and they would not have recognized him because they thought he was dead. I think that his brothers thought that they were being punished by God for the sins that they had committed against Joseph. Remember from the last week that Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery. And when he was sold, when he was here ruling over Egypt, he was about 30 years old. For 13 years, his brothers have been feeling guilty about what they did. Now, there are times, people, where you and I may feel guilty about something that we have done. It may have been a little thing. It may have been a very big thing. But if we deal with God about it, we should not remember it. We should be able to forget it and forgive. The hardest person to forgive is ourselves, but that's next week's message. We'll stay with Joseph here tonight. So, for 13 years, they've been feeling guilty. During the time of Moses, he said something prophetic that actually can be applied right here into our own lives. In Numbers 32, 20 through 23, it tells us, and Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. What a precept. A Bible precept, be sure your sin will find you out. Here were his brethren doing exactly what he had dreamed they would do. But he said nothing. He distracted his brothers to keep them from recognizing him. He had plans for the whole family, and they were not for revenge. but for rescue. His family had not respected him when he was a boy, and he was taking no chance that they had changed. And I believe that they had not changed, and that God's will was being implemented. Joseph wanted to see his youngest brother, and so he set up a deal with them. One brother would stay, and the others would go home and get Benjamin and bring him back. Let's read what happened. Joseph was setting up a test to see if his brothers had learned to love each other. A family without love is really not a family. A family without love is really not a family. Genesis 43, 20 through 34. And he said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Peace be unto you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought out Simeon to them. And the man brought the man unto Joseph, brought the men unto Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave them their asses, provider. And they made ready. The present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand to the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves. For the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at the another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. There was to be just one more step before Joseph identified himself with them. Would they look out for one another? Joseph was going to test them. He was going to see if they had learned over this period of years whether or not they cared for one another, whether they were looking out for one another. We're supposed to do the same thing as a church. We are a family. We sing it every Sunday morning. Family of God. And we are supposed to be looking out for one another. And I trust we are. Gabby and I visited Jimmy this afternoon. He's not up to visitors. He's very weak. He's on oxygen. He's receiving blood almost daily. And he is so weak he cannot rise up out of the bed, and he can barely talk. He can't hear well because he doesn't have his hearing aids. And he's just really not up to visitors. If the Lord tells you go by, then go by. But we had a very short visit with him and a time of prayer. then left. But he is very weak right now. He's not eating either, which is a bad sign. So Joseph was testing his family to see if they had learned anything in those 13 years. And so finally, Joseph did what he was yearning to do. We find that in Genesis 45, verses 1 through 13. Let's look at that. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out for me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph." And about that time, every one of them just about dropped dead. "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I would imagine they were troubled. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore," and this is the whole purpose that everything has taken place over these 13 years. "Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Now Joseph was telling them the purpose for which he lived. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." God had again moved, just like he had moved with Moses. God did this. Joseph had nothing to do with it. God did it all, and he is doing it all for you, too. What your life is in the hand of God. And you have to realize that he is orchestrating the things that happen. Just like with me, the surgery that I'm about to go through, God approved that. God had that plan. And he had it planned for me for that to be discovered exactly when it was discovered. I have no question that God is doing that. Verse 9, "Haste ye, go up to my father, and say to him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near to me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of thy brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." Joseph's purpose had been accomplished. He had saved his family. And each of us have a purpose, as I have told you time after time after time. God has a purpose for each one of us. In this case, Joseph's purpose was fulfilled. It had taken 13 years to do that. We fuss about a few months or a few days. 13 years. What have you done in the last 13 years? Where have you been in the last 13 years? And God, to God, time is nothing. We read in God's word, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So to God, it's nothing. And 13 years is nothing compared to time. Look at verses 5-7, and just see how God had been working. I believe that Joseph had understood God's plan and had gone along with it, even though he didn't know how it would end. I don't believe Joseph understood how the plan of God would come out. And yet here it was, he was seeing the end of it. What had appeared as horrible circumstances were in fact part of God's perfect plan for Joseph. It all worked out to save the Jewish family of Jacob and his children. The children would eventually become the nation Israel, the 12 tribes of the nation Israel. You have not seen yet in the book of Ezekiel, but you will see on Wednesday night. We're going to try and finish the book on Wednesday night. But one of the things is that in the book of Revelation, when they were numbering the Jews, 144,000 out of each tribe, the tribe of Dan was not there, because Dan had gone into idolatry very early. But in the book of Ezekiel, Dan is brought back into Israel as they are dealing with the Russians. And so you will see that on this Wednesday night. So be sure and come Wednesday night. We'll try and finish up the book. Joseph did what he was supposed to do. Had he not suffered what he suffered, there would be no nation Israel. God had a plan and had chosen someone to follow his plan. Could you trust God enough to follow his plan for you? Could you trust God enough to follow his plan for you? Are there things that God wants you to do that are not getting done? I'd like you to think about that. Ask God to show you his plan and then get involved in it. God wants each of us as a part of his plan for Coastal Shores Baptist Church. Let's look at the conclusion. Genesis chapter 46, verses 1-7. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee to Egypt, and I also surely will bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came unto Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all the seed brought he him into Egypt. Now when it says that Joseph shall put his hand upon his eyes, talking about Jacob, he means he will close his eyes when he dies. Joseph would be with his father when he died. God had planned all along that was going to bring Israel to Egypt so that his family could survive the famine God has a plan for you and for your family. It may involve things that you've been fighting and not things that were not desirable to you. But God has a plan for you. The day is coming, and maybe closer than you think or I think, when God is going to execute his plan for each of us. I'm really serious about this next suggestion that I'm going to make to you. Will you come before God in prayer and meditation and inquire from him and find out if you are doing what God wants and planned for you and your family? I would suggest that you set aside a specific time. It may need to be in the middle of the night. I have some good times with God in the middle of the night. He's always available, but the middle of the night is quiet. There's no interruptions. Your phone doesn't ring. Nobody bothers you. And you can spend time with God that's quality time, time that's very important. So I would suggest you set aside a specific allotment of time. This is not going to be a few minutes. We're talking about hours. And that you do this in order to find out what God's plan is for you. Every day is a chance for each of us to change course. If we find that we're not doing what God wants, there are probably some of us that do need to change course. It's never too late to make corrections to our course. The problem is that many times we know or we discover that we're not doing what God wants, and we are doing what we want, and God's plans are actually much better than our own. It takes time alone with God to let him show you what he wants and how you can get to the place that he wants you to be. Who is more important, you or God? It will be your decision, and the consequences could be devastating if you make the wrong decision. Now, folks, that takes care of Joseph's life, but I'd like to talk with you for just a few minutes about all of our future. There are things taking place that you and I have nothing, no power over, no influence upon. Things that could change in a very short period of time, like overnight. One of the things that our government is trying to do right now is do away with your money. Go to a digital dollar. Everything will be electronic. You won't have money to spend. You will have electronic dollars to spend, digital dollars. And the government will be in control of those dollars. Yes, it is a movement. And it is taking place all over the world. China has already done this in sections of China. If that happens, people, you won't be able to give an offering to this church. The government will control that through their digital dollars. If you do give an offering to the church, the government will control how much we get and how much what we can do with it. But people, under those kind of circumstances where we are not in control, we do not need to worry. God has promised he will take care of us. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God is going to provide our food and our clothing? No, it does not mean that. It might mean God is going to have to take us home. And that is always a possibility, It's something we need to be aware of. That's not a bad thing. Oh, getting to that point might be a little uncomfortable, but God knows that. And again, it may be a test. Are we going to be faithful to Him? Are we going to trust Him with not our food, not our clothing, with our soul? And we have already given that to God. It belongs to Him. And so, folks, no matter what takes place politically or governmentally, it's okay. God is still in control. God is still in charge. And this is something that I see something is coming. I don't know what it is. I hear rumors. I read about things. But if they switch over to a digital monetary system, we will no longer have control of our own money. We will be told how we can spend it, how much food we can buy, what kind of food we can buy. They will be able to do that electronically. Right now, a lot of people use credit cards. They go to the store, they buy groceries, they give them a credit card to pay for them. In the future, if the government goes to a digital monetary system, they will only permit us to buy particular items. And that is what will be available. We can't just stop and fill up our car when we want to. We have to have an allotment. Remember some of you remember Second World War. Remember the ration books? You could only buy 1 pound of butter for a month. And then it wasn't butter. It was margarine, and it had to be colored. You took it home, and you colored it. They gave you a little dye packet to color it yellow like butter. And they controlled so many different things. They're talking about doing the same thing. And folks, this will just be an example of the end times. So we don't need to be afraid of the end times. We need to be willing to accept God's will, God's plan. And that's why it is very, very important for all of us, myself included, to know what God's plan is for you, not for me. For you. And the only way you're going to find that out is spend time with God. And I'm not talking like a short time. I'm talking about it may take a long time. But spend time with God. Asking Him to show you. Asking Him to teach you. Asking Him to use you in the times that we have left. I think that it would be good for us to again, either look at Daniel or Revelation or maybe both of them. And we'll talk about that and plan on that. March 1st, I want to suggest that we take on 2 new missionaries to replace. We have lost missionaries in the past, and so our missionary budget is actually lower than it was, and it will not take us above what it was, but it will at least put 2 missionaries back into service. One of them is in France, and the other one wants to go to the Dominican Republic and minister to the Haitians. I'm sort of prejudiced about that, okay? I married a Haitian. I want to see them get ministered to. And there's a lot going on right now. So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world. We are safe right here, right now. But that does not mean that that won't change. And so be prepared for that. Don't panic over it. We did here at the church some things that some of you know about, some of you don't know about. There was a time when I donated some silver coins to the church. Jimmy Hux also donated some silver coins to the church. So we have silver here in our possession. And if the tide changes and suddenly we go to a barter system, we will share with each one of you your portion of what we have in the way of silver, okay? So we're here to help each other, just like Joseph was to help his family. And no matter what happens, we will help each other. If you need help, you come here. This is where your help is going to be at. So I don't know what's ahead, but spend your time with God that you need to spend and find out what his plan is for you. And that will be a basis for you to live the rest of your life. Like I said, we're a family. We're supposed to pull together as Joseph did with his family. Let's find God's purpose for each one of us. And let's live that purpose. It might mean changes, but let's live that purpose for him. Any questions or any comments? Father, we thank you for the time you have given us together here, for the time in your word. And Lord, we would ask that you would help each one to determine and find your plan for each of them, that you might show us what you have planned for us as individuals and corporately as a church family. And then, Father, help us to take the necessary actions to implement your plan in each of our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you and know that you are faithful to do what your word says. Help us to be faithful in spreading your word all over the world. We thank you, Father, for this time we've had together this evening. May it be a profitable time for each one. And we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.